It's the Reflector Reflections podcast. My name is Annie. Join me as we sample around the world the amazing humans that exist in the land of human design, gene keys, astrology, all the things. In this series, we are showcasing guests in the human design community and bringing recognition to them in the work that they do in the human design space and get to know them a little better in how they experiment and navigate their unique design. Today's beautiful conversation is with Amy. Amy is a quad left 4-6 splenic projector with the cross of contagion. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Amy is a human design parenting wizard with long-term studies and certification in human design, including rave cartography, live your design, and parenting, especially parenting by design. Amy brings a deep lived wisdom, not only in human design, but in psychology and play profiling. And I'm so excited to have actually officially met you. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you. What an introduction, hey? Like, I still feel like I'm about 18. I've just left high school. And then I think of all those things that I've done and I'm like, holy shit, like I've lived a bit of a life.
Well, I was just having a quick look at your chart before we jumped on, and I'm like, yeah, even together we still have that completely open G and an open head center. And I'm just like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm not quad left. I don't know what I've got a right mind.
Oh, yeah. Pardon me. I will fix that.
I might have sent you details wrong. Who knows?
I will fix that. Apologies, everybody. Yeah. She's not a quad left, though. She's close enough.
Although it'd be nice because I've got a lot of respect for the quad left, quad right, like the ones on the end spectrum. I'm just like, oh, that'd be so nice. These crossover designs, it's like my brain thinks it's left, but my mind just goes wandering. And I'm just like, come back to me. Let's like focus now.
Doesn't want to. Wants to be out in the periphery.
Yeah.
Talk to us about you. Like, let's have a take us back. How did human design find you, or you find human design?
Yeah, so human design found me when my son was born. I was diagnosed with postnatal depression and anxiety. First child, partner was FIFO, which if we don't know what that is, it's fly in, fly out, so a minor. So he was away all the time. My mental health going down the gurgler big time. I remember exactly how old. Took him to a kinesiology session, and my kinesiologist said to me, "Have you looked into his design? Have you looked at human design for him?" And I was like, no, I haven't. And it was really her initiation. She said I would go home and look up his details. And so I did. I went home. She sent me with a website, which luckily enough, I say luckily, but, you know, for me, she sent me home with the Jovian website. So that was my first experience with human design, was straight into the Jovian stuff. Looked it up, saw he was a manifester. Looked then, of course, you know, went down the rabbit hole, everyone's designs, mine's, my partner's. Saw I was a projector. I was like, no, that must be wrong. I must be a manifester because I've been doing dream boards for the last, you know, 10 years. And it just grabbed me. I listened to everything that was free, every free resource I could grab hold of on the Jovian website. And, like, honestly, looking back, if you were just wanting to experiment, that's like all the free stuff on there is enough to really get going. It just grabbed hold of me. He was 6 months old. And it explained everything. It explained my postnatal depression, my anxiety, why my emotions were going through the roof. I'm an emotionless projector just giving birth to this emotional manifestor baby, and just amplifying his state of being all the time. Like, yeah, so it explained everything, and then I just ran with it. Yeah, that's where it comes from.
So hubby is, or your partner's a manifestor and your children are manifestors. You know, you've got...
No, John's a sacral generator.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. 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 So we've got a sacral generator. We've got two splenic projectors and we've got the emotional manifestor.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a big energy household there.
Yeah, it is when it's on. Like when the manifestor child's on, it's big. When he's off, like when John's away, because he still works FIFO, so he flies away. There is like this calmness that comes over the place because we don't have the sacral that we're amplifying. If Jed's in a resting phase of his manifestor cycle, it can be very calm. But when everyone's on, it's on. And we are a dysfunctional penta. We are not. Like on paper, you would look at our penta and be like, this family doesn't work. And I honestly think without human design, we probably wouldn't work. It's the awareness that we are dysfunctional. We're a house of undefined or open G centers. We don't fit the mold. We don't fit the family mold. And it's just like letting go of all of that is, I think, the reason that we function the way we do, if you can call it functioning.
I love that. It's crazy chaos, isn't it? Or it's it love it loving unorganized chaos or organized chaos, however they say it. I
Yeah.
appreciate that. And it's just because it's in a way, it's how you're supposed to be. How are you going to show
Yeah.
up? And you were just saying there that all of you have completely open G's.
We got two open G's,
Oh,
two undefined.
too
Yeah.
undefined. That must be interesting.
Yeah. And it's funny because life led us to sample the environment. So for the last 2 years, we have been sampling Australia just places at a time. If we like it, we stay. If we don't, we move on. And it's been really, I never really, you read about the G, the open G, undefined G, and you take it all in, and you really can become a product of your environment. But when you watch your environment change weekly, it's so evident to me that I become the neighborhood. I become the beige cotton that everyone wears here, or in the next town, I become the sporty person, or I become the, I just, it's like I just mold into the environment and just become a part of it. And I think when we were living in a house, you don't really, you sort of notice it a bit with the people you hang out with and the places that you frequent. But for me, the contrast really came when we started sampling different parts of Australia, different towns, and just really just becoming that town. You could see it in, I would buy things, or I would dress differently, or yeah, it's really evident to me who that the open G is just a product of their environment.
Yeah, I've had
Yeah.
a few people say that to me, that I'm a double reflector with that completely open G being a reflector. And you look back, as you do when you find human design, you do, you kind of journey back. You journey back throughout
Yeah.
your life. And you were just saying there, just in this trip, how you've been very cognizant about it. Were
Yeah.
you like that as a child too? Do you take us back to little Amy?
Yeah, looking back, now looking back, I can see that I never really knew who I was because I was this or I was that, or I was Amy the sporty one, or Amy that was in drama club, or Amy the really smart one, or just whoever I was around. I grew up in a household of generators. My sister's an MG, my dad and brother are generators. I was adrenally fatigued as a child. I had adrenal fatigue. I'd break out in hives and rashes. I was like forced to rest because I was go, go, go. I was the busiest one in our house, which usually the projector kid is the busiest one in the house because they just can't stop amplifying all that sacral energy. But yeah, I was really a product of my environment, of my schooling, of my teachers, of this. I would fit the mold and just be the best, little mold that I could be of that. Yeah, I've always sort of rebelled against authority, and I can see why. I've got the channel of judgment. There's a part of me that always just has to, it's like, nah, not doing that. Nah, like I'd always be the one that'd just take off and run from school if I didn't want to be a part of that thing for the day or whatever. But I also never wanted to be in too much trouble. I'd always make sure, because that the undefined solar plexus child doesn't, we don't want to rock the boat because we don't want to feel the emotional wave of everyone else around us. So you learn to not rock the boat. How's your day? Yeah, good, good day. Yeah, don't say anything that's going to upset anybody in the house, sort of thing. So, yeah.
And your partner, does he, just sharing this from my own experience as well, like my partner in the early days would often get like a little bit of whiplash from going, "What are you doing now?" How has that been in your relationship, especially navigating children and traveling like you have done?
Yeah, at first he was sort of like, oh yeah, another thing Amy's gone down the rabbit, another thing she's studying because she can't stop studying. He really got on board, I would say, when Jed was probably 1.5, 2 years old. I would just start to explain his behavior. That's an emotional high. He's having an emotional low. He's angry because he can't walk yet and he wants his independence. I would just start explaining human design, but like in this real, I'll just explain what I was seeing, basically. But in this like just mundane language that John could understand. And John took a lot of evidence gathering and me just reiterating the system over and over to him until finally he started to get on board and was just like, oh yeah. Yeah, but he's not one to be like, that gate or that profile, that channel. He's just like not savvy at all in human design language. He's just like, all I know, this, like whatever she's explaining is actually really happening with this kid. And then he sort of started taking it on for himself, just through me saying, is that like, do you want this? Yes or no? Like sort of thing. Just really learning to distill my questions down for him,
Yeah.
because we, as projectors, we ask these big open-ended questions because we just want to get to the guts of it all. I'll be like, what do you want to have for dinner? Something so simple. And then learning to ask him, like, do you want steak for dinner? Because like, what do you want to have for dinner? He would just be like, oh, I don't know, like we should have this because we've got it in the fridge or whatever. And I'd think, oh, Amy, you're not even asking his sacral to respond. You're not even giving his sacral a chance to respond. And so I'd distill the question. And he learnt through experimenting that way. So he's very good with his sacral response, but he does have a completely open heart. So very good at overriding his response to please. Yeah.
Gosh, your situation sounds so similar to mine. I can really identify with that. My partner's the same. He got to that point of me just talking about it with the kids when they were younger, and just went, finally he could see that. Like, because he's a quad left, and he really needs a lot of that. Like I need proof,
Yeah.
but the proof is in the day to day. And I mean, I've got just here in my household now, the two, and I've got a projector daughter and a manifesting generator son. And the manifesting generator son has got he's got a completely fully defined will center. So, and he's a 4-6. So it's there's a lot coming out there. And my partner's a 2-4 generator. So there's a difference, but he's learning. And I love what you were saying there. That is just so helpful to people, because our family's the same. It's like I have to kind of choose my language a little bit of going, okay, well, I've got two generators here. I've got to speak this way, but then I've got a projector, which is much easier because I can kind of go off on my lollygaggling. Do you
Yeah.
find that in your household?
Yeah, and especially with play, look, to play with my children, I think I've learned more about human design playing with my kids and watching them than I have learned from any textbook. Like, yeah, it's nice to put the knowledge in, and human design is very mindy, but actually playing with them, it's like you play with a manifestor child and you ask them nonstop questions. They don't want to play with you anymore. It's like they you are out the door. I'm not playing with you. You play with a projector child. My child's cold thirst, and he's really my projector child. He's cold thirst. He really he's got a defined head in Ajna too, so he really gets into the. He's got the thirst for knowledge, right? You ask him open-ended questions in play and ask him about things, and it's like engaging and blah, 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 blah. But Jed, like the manifestor, you play with him and it's like he tells you what character you're going to be, what you need to do. Don't do it that way. This is how long we're playing for. But the thing with him is he forgets to tell you when he's stopped playing. So he just finishes the game and walks off. And you're still there, like, wait, are we still playing? What's going on? I have to remind him, like, you have to inform people when you're stopping the game, mate. You can't just, nick off, leave people. Yeah, I think I've learned the most about interacting differently with them, just through playing with them and the mundane stuff, like, yeah. And then with John, it's always like with my partner, it's always about his response. Like, watching him light up. Sometimes he doesn't have an aha, like this big thing that we see that we've heard that the generator has. Sometimes it's just a movement of his body. He just responds, like up and moving. He's sort of like a splenic sacral. That's his connection. He's spleen sacral root only. So his response is very quick, and sometimes there's no noise.
I've found that too with a lot of generators in my space. It's not always this aha, because I don't know about you, when you get into this and you start learning it and you're like, all right, generators, gather around. I want to test this with you. I've got this, I know this thing now. I can help you. And then it's
Yeah.
just like they're all different. You're like, oh, this is not how they told me it was going to be, but
Yeah.
we learn.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You do. Through observation.
Yes.
Just through watching. Yeah.
And when you found this, so getting back into it, you were just hooked. You were hooked from the get-go. I know how that feels. When something lands really in your body, and you're just like, this helps me understand me, but also me understand people. Did you straight away go down that path of formal study, or did you kind of sample bits and pieces around? How did you get into it?
Yeah, what happened? So I, if you can call the free stuff on Jovian formal, that was my big introduction. This was like, I think like 2018, 2019, human design was really taking off on social media. There was some big names just doing big things. I don't know if it's my fourth line personality or if it's I think it's got something to do with the 4426 in me, like the channel of surrender, the transmitter. I have this need. I will sift through everybody and I will find the person that I need to put myself in the room with, sort of thing. It's a networking thing. And I used to be embarrassed to say that. And I'm like, no, it's a part of you, Amy. You do it. You do it. I put myself, I will sift through and I will put myself in that room. And so I sought out some of the OGs. I sought out some of Ra's first students because I thought, well, if he's dead, I'm going to the next one, And when they die, I'll go to the next one. And maybe I'll be the next one. Who knows? But that's my thought process because it's like, if he's dead, I want to go to the person that was closest to the source, and see what they've got to say. And so I started mentoring with Kip Winsett. I started mentoring with Kumud, who's from Human Design Wise. And you can often hear Kumud in the back of Ra's lectures. She was a real questioner. She would interrupt him and ask questions all the time. Yeah, I went straight to one-on-one mentoring with people rather than group and class stuff. And because I think coming from a psychology background too, I also understand that what we see on Instagram and places like that sometimes isn't the real deal. And so I was kind of like, I want to get to the people that I know aren't that big on Instagram. Like, what are they doing with this system in the actual real everyday life? Because what I needed was, how do I deal with this child? I needed real life stuff. I didn't need like boost your career, get it, find your purpose. I didn't need any of that shit. I needed to know, how do I make it through the day with an angry, manifested, emotional child? How do I make it through the day? That's what I needed. Yeah, so I went and put myself in the room with some of the OGs. And then it wasn't until afterwards I started reading for people. I started, doing the businessy human design business thing. And then I thought, like, oh, well, you better get some sort of formal, like, you can't just be reading for people if you don't have some sort of formal certificate, Open G needs to open G open head and Ajna. It's like, oh, you have to show and prove that you're certain you know this stuff. So I went and did LYD ABC's rave cartography. Yeah, literally just to have the letters after my name.
Yeah. And that's what it is.
And
It's not
that's
that
the
you
honest
didn't know
truth.
it. I love this
No.
because, but you just need the letters after your name and to have that.
Yep. Yeah, it's not that I didn't know it. And you know, it sucks. It sucks. And I wish it wasn't like this way, but it's the world we live in. I can't work, even with children, I can't work with children unless I go and you know, like I can't work with NDIS children on the disability scheme or like people that are less fortunate here in Australia that need funding. I can't work with those children unless I get the piece of paper that says that I can, you know? And that's just the way it is. And so, yeah, I went through the formal training and I thought to myself, doing LYD ABCs and cartography, like, yeah, I'll just get the piece of paper and the letter after my name. But I was really fortunate. The courses that I took, I actually really learned, took something from, and it widened my network really, in doing that. It's not like I just got the certificates and woohoo. Yeah, the courses that I took were really well run, and I would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, to attend these bloody online lectures and things. But yeah,
But you're more
that's what
dedicated
happened.
than
It,
me. That was when I pulled out. I couldn't do that. I just couldn't. I was so
yeah,
tired. It's just like, why can't they make it here? You know?
I know. It's hard being in Australia, and for me, that time of the morning is a good rest from my kids, you know, because they're sleeping then. So I'm like, oh, and I think our lifestyle allowed it because I could nap in the afternoon. You know, we were just traveling. Everyone would be playing at the beach, and I'd just hop in the van and have a sleep. you know, and that we're so fortunate in that. But yeah, it's even like this year, I'm going back to finish my master's degree in child play therapy because I have to, for the piece of paper. And that's just the way the world we're in. And hopefully all of this crumbles and disappears when the cross of planning goes. But
I was
for
thinking,
now,
this is a
yeah.
really interesting chat, and I don't know if I'll cut this out or not, but I'm in exactly the same boat. I love this because I've got to get my grad cert. And again, exactly what you're saying. It's like I know it, but I know I've got to do it. So I've got to spend the next year doing this extra study in grief, in things like that that I want to work in, because you and I work in very similar spaces.
Yeah.
I don't want to, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, you've got to do this. And I don't know about you, but I question whether or not I can get through it. Like, that's gone through my head. I just go, fuck, I know I'm going to get bored. I know I'm just going to want to scrap it, but I have to hold the line.
Yeah. And you know what? When 2027 rolls around, it's not like it's going to be a tick of the clock and all the buildings are going to fall over. It's not going to happen like that. It's going to take hundreds of years for the evolution. You know, in our lifetime, it's going to take the rest of our lifetime for these systems to slowly crumble. And so for now, it's like, for me, I'm a contagion. It's like something in me wants to spread. I'm not here for the PhD level. I'm not here for the, you know, base orientation theory. I'm not here for that. I can study it, I can learn it, but I'm not here for it. What I'm here to do is say to parents, hey, your kid's different from everyone else. Let's just watch them and observe them and see how they're different and see how much we can hold them in that. And as far as I can spread that, that's the contagion in me. It's like, how far can I spread this? I need the piece of paper to spread it. You know, human design, yeah, there's a lot of free stuff out there, but it's really quite for the privileged. I've been in some Indigenous communities, you know, on the Dampier Peninsula with these kids that don't even have schools. You know, they go and hang out on the school fence, holding on, waiting for a teacher to arrive, and the teacher never comes. And they go home or they go to the local church because they don't know what else to do, these kids. And it's like their parents are never, ever going to book in for a human design reading and find out about this child's authenticity. They don't even have crayons for school. Like, yeah. And so for me, that's where my fire comes from. It's like, righto, if I've got to slip human design in the back door, that's what I'll do. I just need this bit of paper to get it in the back door. And I think that's my channel of struggle too, saying, you know what, fuck the system. This is my way. I will put myself in the system because I'm aware of the fact that I'm putting myself in the system to get my bit of paper so I can secretly say, fuck the system. Here's human design in the back door. I've done a lot of talk therapy with kids and adults, and the same questions. It doesn't work. You put a manifested child in talk therapy, they're shut down. They don't want to talk. They don't want to answer questions to, which is why I'm swapping to, play therapy
I love it.
and just finishing the bit of paper. I know what you're feeling though. It's like I part of me is like my mind is saying, I don't know how you're going to get through it. I don't know how you're going to do this. Part of me just trusts that it'll flow through when it has to. If I just stay true with my energy and the pulse when it's on, it'll flow through me and it'll happen. If it doesn't, it wasn't meant to.
Well, that's right. And I also remind myself, and probably you will too, it's just like you using that fuel, for lack of better words, to kind of like build and build and build. So putting myself in situations, this sounds awful, but I'm going to say it, putting myself in situations that light my fire, that light me to go, fuck this. That, you know what I mean? It puts me back into the situation where I just go, this is why I'm doing this. Remember why you're doing this. It kind of keeps that fuel so I can build it, build it, build it, and then go and do it. And I can build it, build it, build it. But I have a lot of people just saying on that, they sort of say to me, oh, but you're a reflector, Annie. How are you going to do that? You're a mum, you're that. And I'm like, I have still my own energy source. Like, you know, Jesus Christ. It's like I don't, it's quite shocking the language that gets thrown around sometimes about different types, isn't it? It's just like, oh no, but you're a projector. You've got to, you know, it's just like, I understand that, but give me the benefit of the doubt of my own energy and my own aura. Have you found that just, you know, with the projector language?
And sometimes, and I think too, because we see so much online, you see some projectors that are just like, oh, I'm not doing nothing. I'm just going to sit on the couch and life's going to come at me, blah, blah, blah. And that's all great. I'm an energy projector with a defined root to spleen to ego. If it
Yes.
lights me up and there's a payoff for me, and that sounds, back in the day, that would have sounded manipulative, and I would have been like, well, don't say that, Amy. But there's got to be a payoff for my ego. There has to be. If it lights me and there's a payoff, the energy, I'm unstoppable.
Yes.
More so than my partner, who's got a passive body. If he's got no response for that, he just chill. He's got a format channel. He's the 952. Stillness. It's not uncommon to find the generator in our household, the passive body generator, just sitting still. And me, active body, defined root, spleen, ego, doing the, like, just ch churning through the things, because I have an active body, active brain. And I sometimes think we can grab human, we can grab the system, and we can put people in a box. And it's like, you're a reflector. How do you even get out of bed in the mornings? But
That might have been very
yeah,
accurate this morning. Did I
yep.
manage to get out of bed this morning? I don't know. Yeah, but sorry.
Yeah.
But
And you're also you're also showcasing the whole range, like the whole spectrum, because as that moon moves, you're everything and everyone. So it's like, of course the reflector can get it done. Yeah, it's just labeling and boxing, and I see it with our children too. It's like, oh, my child's an MG, so I've enrolled them in swimming and sports, and they're going to do this. And then we learn Japanese, and it's like, whoa, whoa, like, just because my child's an MG or something like that. I think we can get carried away with this system and make it a whole new belief system, when really the crux of it is it's simply for awareness. It's simply for seeing. It's simply for observing. And the first step is being able to watch our own mind and whether we're doing that to ourselves. Like, oh, I'm a projector, so I need to, be not working 9 to 5, or I can't finish a master's degree because I can't do a full-time master's degree with 2 kids because I'm a projector. Like, we're watching our own mind tell that story, rather than going with what the body's doing.
I love that. That is so true. And each kid's going to be different. And in that profile really comes in. Have you found that in your family dynamic too? Because even though you might have, like, I have a manifester who comes here quite regularly as a foster, and and just the dynamics between these kids. But I also am around a lot of other, as you were just saying, they're manifesting generators and projector kids. They're all very different. And I look at their profile and then I look at where they're at and what they're doing. And I just think, I just sit back sometimes, as you were saying, and observe. And I love it because it's like, look at you being naturally you. It's us sometimes, the parents are the problem. The parents and the carers are the problem most of the time.
Yeah. And I see it too, like when people come for readings or whatever, and they want me to talk about their child's like incarnation cross. And I'm like, I'm just a no for doing that, because I'm going to tell you, your child is on the cross of explanation, and this is what it's about. And then you're going for the rest of your life, for the rest of their little childhood, be shuffling them into things and putting them into things because of what you think this cross should play out like. And that's not what this is about. There's certain things we just don't need to look at for children in their charts. Really, we don't even need to look at children's charts. We just need to watch them grow and have an awareness of that they're their own sovereign little being with their own authority. And all we're really here to do is just empower them in that, in their authority, to know that their body knows. And if they can just hold on to that, my body knows, that's going to set them up for the rest of their lives. You know, strategy, yes, the manifest child has to learn this strategy. I've learned that firsthand. But I think a lot of it's learning play. I've watched the kids play, and I've watched my little projector child. He's learning that he has to wait to be invited before he goes and tells everybody that they're not following the rules, and you know, blah 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 blah. And Jed's learning through play that he has to inform.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're naturally learning all of it. It's us that sort of steps in and paints it with a different picture than it actually really is. Yeah.
Do you find as well in this parenting and even talking to parents through this work that you do, of just, okay, let's use the projector child as an example. And look, we all know that there can be it's very clear that they want to control the situation in a lot of situations. It's like, right, nope. And you want to come in then as a parent kindly and just let them know and say, okay, well, this is possibly a better way of doing it, but at the same time not tell them what to do. So it's like this, you're between a rock and a hard place, to use that scenario. How are ways that you can do that, do you think?
The projector child is looking for recognition all of the time. So before they're even in that situation, the projector child needs so much recognition. Just recognize these kids. Hey, I see you're really studying that. Oh, you're really learning your shapes at the moment. The projector child picks up a fork and it's like, and uses the fork, and it's like, yo, using your fork. Good job. Like, just really recognizing them, not so much for what they're doing, but who they are. That's what we want to recognize them for. Because when you've got a projector child that's really trying to control the situation, what they want, what they're looking for is recognition. That they're seeing it differently, that they're seeing the most efficient way. No one, and that's where you get this needy, pokey, annoying little projector child. I know, because I was one, saying, hey, 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 look at me. I know, I know. Like, if somebody recognized that, I know. So lots of recognition for our projector children. But in those situations, what I tend to do is basically use them as learning, use them as teaching and learning situations. Let them learn, let them get bitter. You know, all the kids aren't listening to me, blah, blah, blah. Super bitter child. And we say to them, like, hey, you might have been seeing like the most efficient way for that to happen. Or you might have been that, yeah, I know they weren't following the rules. I know they weren't. But, you know, perhaps next time we could just wait and see if they ask you, you know, because what you've got to say is really important. And if they're not asking for it, then, you know, maybe it's not for them. That sort of thing. Like, just really seeing the child and holding space for the fact that, yeah, you put yourself out there and you weren't listened to. I think that really helps. But it comes back to the recognition first. That's why the child's looking for.
Yeah.
That's why they're controlling the situation. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. That's actually really, really helpful. even when you think you can get it, it's just like to hear that and sort of to have that reflected back. And, you know, again, this is why people come to people like you to have these chats to go, teach me how to be a little bit more mindful of my child and my child's energy so I can support them more. Do you get many
And look, I don't.
reflectors? Pardon?
I was gonna say, look, I don't always get it right either.
No.
Like sometimes I'm just like, I don't know, I'm just flying by the seat of my pants here. Yeah, I do get reflector children. When if it's reflector adults, if the reading's for an adult, I'll generally refer it out or send them somewhere else. And it's not that I'm not proficient in reading for reflectors, it's just the only type that I can't be. I can't ever be. I can't ever sample that type. I don't know what it's like to have all centers undefined. I will always have a defined root and spleen and ego. So I'll generally refer it out. But with reflected children, I would often read for them for the parent so they can have an understanding, of what it's like to have this little child in the world, and how to interact with them. Yeah, but not many. You know, it's not, it's they're not the bulk, that's for sure.
No, the 1%. There's still a
Oh,
lot though.
yeah.
I found them. I found a lot of them.
Yeah, as the network builds, you find that, oh yeah, this is actually pretty common. Like there is a fair few of these. Yeah.
Yeah. And your experience to do with the, I'm putting you on the spot here, so. But in your experience to do with the generators and the manifesting generators, have you, what's your opinion or just for chat on more manifesting generators coming into our orbit, our world? Do you think that's a part of this, the cross, like the 2027 evolution?
Yeah, I can't remember where I read it, and I wish like I this is where then one of those points where I have like a right mind and I wish it was left. I can't remember where I read it, but there's a lot of manifestors coming in too. Which would be funny, which would be strange, but it would suit really because Ra would say the manifest is out to pasture. So, a lot of people coming in just doing their own things, not really worried about this cross of planning business. But yeah, like I just think it's really common for the MG to come in because of the 2034 channel. To be honest, I don't have much thoughts on it.
Yeah.
And I think it's because, to be honest, I think it's because I'm so spleeny. It's like I look out when I look out into the future like that, it's a transference into power view for me. And I feel really when I transfer into power view, I feel very useless. I feel very like small fry and like shit, what are we gonna do? And doomsday prepping and like I feel. Yeah, and when I don't know, when I come back to personal view and I'm just such a splenic existential being, I'm like, that's so far away. And also, doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. If everyone's just so empowered in their own body as their own authority, it doesn't matter what type. It doesn't matter what type we fill this world with.
Yeah,
Yeah. Does that make sense?
that totally does make sense. That's a beautiful explanation of it. I've always just been very curious because in a lot of the over the last 5 years, a lot of the birth work that I do, obviously, I myself have been a part of a lot of births, but also I have a network and it's become a big thing for me over the last few years of just, you know, if I couldn't be there, we all put the birth time in into the area. Now, a lot of people aren't as ridiculous as I am, but I put every single birth in my network over the last 4 years in my phone. And I've actually had to sit there and go through and sort them into folders because I'm like, gosh, can I pay someone to do that? But majority, and I look at these stats because I like to get a little bit like cross a distraction. Can you tell? I get a little bit caught in things. And I'm like, ooh. And I shit you not, it's about 88%. No, it's 88, but it's 88% manifesting generators in 4 years.
Whoa. Yeah,
That have been on
wild, eh?
my roster and my team's roster.
Mm.
I haven't had one reflector yet. Might get there next year, maybe this year, sorry. But yeah, it's just interesting. I just sort of go, well, this is fascinating. Has it always been this
Yeah.
way? And I just haven't, you know, but shit, I don't have to worry about, Amy. That's exactly what that
Yeah.
is. It's literally
Yeah.
like things that I really don't need to think about, but sometimes I do.
Yeah, and it's like a very individual time coming too, like community and all that sort of tribal stuff's kind of going out the window, with the background frequency. And I wonder, like, a lot of those, I'd love to know of that percentage. See, here's the shit I don't need to
Oh,
worry
yeah.
about. Here we
No gift to
go.
me.
Open heads. Of that 88%, which ones are the pure MG, the 3420, the integration channel, that very individual, I'm busy now. I'm too busy for you sort of energy. Yeah, I'd love to know what percentage are that pure MG channel of charisma.
I'll leave it with me.
Yeah.
You never know. On one of those restless nights that I have where I'm like, can't sleep,
Yeah.
menopause, can't sleep. Oh, I might just go and run through all those charts.
And see the difference. There's a big difference. My dad's an MG and my sister's an MG. My dad is kind of like the MG by default, meaning that he's got his sacral lit and his throat lit and there's channels. My sister's a pure 2034. The difference is massive, massive, in that energy. Huge difference.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Gosh. Well, I'm really looking forward to connecting with you in May. I know that we're going to talk more into it. This is not the right channel for it, but you are speaking at our first Human Design conference here in Australia. You're coming to share your love, your wisdom, your gifts, your contagion. Sounds really like a disease, doesn't it?
I know. Funny that I found it like right when COVID was hitting too. I'm like, whoa, across a contagion, like it's really my time.
But I really value and appreciate the work that you're doing in here. And just again, that completely undefinedness that you have that has allowed you to explore and educate yourself in many different ways and lean into this work because it's really, really important. I think Rara always said it's about the kids. So,
Yeah, hate to be one of those rah-said people, but
yeah.
yeah, what's it all for? It's not for, and that's why I swapped from, adult psychology to children, because yeah, it's not about like, yeah, we love to do the work, gotta do the work, and improve ourselves and all of that. But yeah, really, if we can just raise empowered children in their own authority, work's done. Majority of it is done. Yeah, but it's not easy. It's not an easy route. I want to just say that anyone that's like, human design is going to fix all of my parenting and it's going to be like smooth sailing. No, it's gnarly as hell raising kids by design. There's a lot. You got to look at your own shit. You got to look at your own conditioning. There's a lot of stuff that gets brought up when you're raising a child that is so empowered in themselves and knows themselves really well. It's not the easy route, that's for sure, but it's very fulfilling to watch a child navigate the world that way.
It's that power play, isn't it? A lot of the time, because we as parents, we feel like, oh my God, we're losing the power because of that. What you just said there about a really, it's like they've come in with a different energy. A lot of these kids, like I've parented through different decades, and I noticed the difference between my older girls who are approaching their 30s than my younger two, like just how more aware. And I often have sat with myself and gone, is it me? And you know, not that it's about me, but it's just, is it the way that I've parented differently or the
Yeah.
world? But I think it's more about they just seem to know themselves more.
Yeah.
And it's a challenge because, as you were just saying then, when you still are second guessing yourself and trying to figure out all this conditioned bullshit that you've had for 30, 40 years, and you've got a kid that's
Yeah.
just right in your face going, nope. Your natural response is to then kind of overpower them or try to take their power away. So you're
Yeah.
right. And when you can, I don't know, this is just my own experience through the years of just going, oh, I recognize that I want to take their power because I can have it because I'm feeling very insecure instead of just honoring them and just going, Oh, you powerful, beautiful being.
Yeah.
Wow, I can appreciate that ego. I can appreciate that definition. I can really appreciate where you're going with that. Holy shit, we may not make it some days, but I tell you what, you're going to be a real cool, awesome adult.
Yeah, I know. Like, just to bring it down to the mundane level for anyone that's like, oh, I wonder how that plays out in Monday, like everyday life. This happened. This is the day, something like that. We're doing something. We're at a playground, or we're somewhere, and it's time to leave. You know, it's 5 o'clock at night. Or the other day, we're at the creek. We're at the creek. It's starting to rain. The mozzies are getting really bad. Geordie's starving. Jono's had enough. Jed's the only one that wants to stay. Because he's just a receptive, emotional timing. Like, he just runs on his own clock, his own special little time, Jed time, we call it. Come on, Jed, it's time to go. Informing, you know? Come on, Jed, it's time to go. I'm not asking, I'm telling you. It's my body and I'm not moving it. Okay. And it's like in that moment, exactly what you say. It's like you could, it's like you just want to. I'm telling you, we're going, get in the car, like sort of thing. Like, you just get so fiery. But also, it's like, ah, good for you, mate. Like, good on you. And I'm usually like, righto, do you want your swag or do you want some food? What do you want me to leave for you? Because we're ticking off. Like, or I'll be like, yeah, I know. I know. I can, I'll just sort of like really try and sit with him in it and be like, and I often think, did I not give him enough time? You know, with the emotional being, did I not give him enough time? Sort of thing. But also, it's kind of like, as the mother, you're trying to look after the other ones too and please everybody, and you got to get home for dinner, and I'm starting to get bloody fatigued and hungry, and you've got this kid that would stay there until midnight if you let him. But yeah, it's that's the sort of power every day with these kids. And it's just seeing him in that. Yeah, mate, I probably should have told you 15 minutes ago. You know, it is your body, you're right, it's your body. In a minute, that body's going to be real hungry. So let's go.
It is a tricky navigating experience when you've got multiples in a family, because
Yeah.
each one needs to be kind of spoken to differently. But at the same time, I've learned just in my experience, I'd love you to share your thoughts on this. I understand you're all different, but for the cohesiveness of this family and getting us out the fucking door some days, this is what we're doing, right? I know you need yes, no. I know you need this. I know you need, at the
Yeah.
end of the day, this is what's happening. How you want to interpret that is all on you. It's just
Yeah.
like, let's go.
Yeah. And I think, like, there's no, I've always said this, there's no right or wrong in this experiment. And there are some really like dogmatic people who'd be like, no, there's a right and there is a wrong. I think as long as you have awareness, if you're pushing a child against their authority, look, and I'm not saying just push children against their authority for the fun of it. If you can afford their authority, I would. But if you're pushing a child against their authority because of other external matters, acknowledge that's what you're doing. You know, just awareness of that's what you're doing. I know you have an emotion. I know you're riding your wave and I'm moving you along. I know that. I'm sorry I'm doing that. I think awareness and acknowledgement is everything, rather than like when we were kids, it was just like, shut up and move. Kids are to be seen and not heard.
Yes.
No acknowledgement whatsoever of my body. You're going, I'm going against my body for you. Yeah, and so I'm with you. Like, there's no right or wrong. There's just the experiment, and we're just in it. And I think the mums, the parents, the ones raising the kids are in it. In it, we're in the thick of it. Because it's not just about us. You know, I love, you know, everybody, whatever, whoever's out there experimenting with human design, good for you. And sometimes I'm like, oh man, it would be nice to just be like, just me, no kids, no family. And I could just be as radical as possible. But it's like, someone's still got to change the nappies. Someone's still got to wipe the butts. You know, sometimes I got to act like a bloody generator in response when Jed, well, not Jed because he's toilet trained, but Geordie will yell out, Mom, I need your poo. It's like, all right, well, here I go. Oh, it's not the invite I was after, but let's go to the toilet. You know, you just do. You just do it. You just go. You just, the experiment is how much can you watch your mind controlling, thinking it runs the show, and your body's energy and you pushing against it or going with it. That's the experiment, not,
That
you know,
is.
this dogmatic right or wrong. Yeah, and sometimes we've got to get everyone out front door. It's the way it
Exactly
is.
that. And you know, I've had a lot when I say a lot, quite a number, but anyway, of parents raising reflectors reach out, and they're always just like, well, oh my gosh, I've just found out that my child's a reflector. Suddenly they go into panic mode, Amy. They go into literal panic because most of them are generators. And they're like, I'm trying to support my reflector child. Holy shit. They tell me I've got to, I can't wait a fucking lunar cycle for us to get out the door each day, or I can't wait a lunar cycle for me to go, oh, okay, well, they need this. And it's like, everybody calm down. Relax.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But it is, I could imagine for a parent who finds this out, because I love that about people when they are really receptive to it and they are navigating it and going, I want to make sure they're okay. And that to me is
Yeah.
just like, oh, you beautiful, beautiful being. They will be
Yeah.
okay.
They'll be fine
They will be
because they've
okay.
got you.
Do you find
And
that?
our Yeah, and look, our reflector kiddos are super resilient. They're resilient kids. They've got the Teflon aura. They're the next down. You've got the manifestor closed aura, then you've got the reflector aura that's just sampling when it wants to, closed off the rest of the time. They're not these vulnerable, poor little reflector open children. They're really here to sample life. And it's like the best thing you can do for a reflector child is allow them to sample life and ask them about it, ask them for their reflections on it. And just, I think for them, the mundanity is what really kills the reflector kid. We get up, we go to childcare, then after childcare, we go to Nana's, then we go home. Da, 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 da. It's like take them on a different way to childcare or take them down to the park or the creek that they haven't been to before. You don't have to spend big money and surprise a reflector child all the time. It's just recognize that when the reflector child gets stuck in the mundane of life, that's when the disappointment comes in. Because look what they're reflecting, you know? And so it's like showing them how vast life is. This can be something like the botanical gardens. Take the kid to botanical gardens and show them the different colored flowers. And this, I'm talking for little kids. You're going to tell your 17-year-old that they're going to the botanical gardens. They're not going to come. But I think just, I think with anybody, any parent that looks at their child's design and feels an instant need to bubble wrap them is such a natural reaction, but also ask why. Like, why do I feel like I need to bubble wrap this child now because I've seen this thing about them? Our openness is where we're here to explore and learn and master. So it's kind of like let them explore and learn and master, and all we have to really do is anchor them in strategy and authority. It's all we got to do. The rest will sort itself out. Yeah.
And understand what's happening with your reflector child is possibly happening to you. It's a
Yeah.
big thing, and I think it's very hard for
It's...
parents to get that. It's just like, well, why are they melting down all the time? What's happening?
Yeah.
You know, what's happening with
Yeah.
you? What's happening in your family? What's happening? What's
Yeah.
happening? And then it can be like,
Project the
it's not a
kiddos
guilt or a
too.
shame. It's not a guilt or
Yeah.
shame, is it? We're not, but it's like, what is happening? Be curious.
Yeah, it's a gift. It's a
Yes.
real gift. You know, like Geordie, our projector child, he has the biggest meltdowns in the house. And it's usually because I'm holding it in. I'll say to Jono, he's only displaying what I'm feeling right now. Well, he's only displaying what you're feeling right now. He's just letting it out. We're not. That's the difference. He has the biggest, flies off the handle. And I've got an ego projector nephew who can't make it home from school. The school day just takes it out of him. There's so much happening, and the reflector kid would be the same. There's so much happening in that environment that he gets in the car and just can't make it home from school, just passes out. And my sister, because she's an MG, is always trying to wake him up. Like, come on, you can't sleep now because then you won't go to bed at night time, like freaking out because their mind's like, no, he can't. I'm like, let him sleep, the poor thing. He's bloody exhausted. But it's a real gift. Human design and being able to be aware of our children's design is a real gift because you're getting the raw, unconditioned masterclass
Yes.
in those aspects that you're watching play out, the 2-4, the 4-6, you're getting the real raw masterclass for free, except you got a parent, you got to be the parent. But you're getting it for free, and you get to really, you might read about a channel, or you might read about a gate or a center, but then you watch it play out and you're like, oh wow, that lands just so differently to what the words, what my mind thought it was going to be like.
Yeah. In
Yeah.
multiple ways. You're a gift. This has
You
been
are.
such a great chat. I'd just keep chatting. I've got so many more questions, but I'm like, we've been going for a while, and I know that it's raining up there for you, and you got a big day ahead.
Yeah, we do. We're gonna go to the markets. I drag my people to the markets. They would hang out at the creek. They'd go to the pool. Anywhere there's water, they
Yes.
would be. Or anything up high, like they love to go on Ferris wheels, I think, to like look and be in that transition point because they're all shores. Whereas I'm like, let's go to the markets and let's suss out the town. And yeah, funny. But
How
we've got
is
to. We do have to drive Jetty past a few schools so he can start his emotional
oh.
process, see if he's going to go to school this year or not. I only did one term.
Oh, you just paused on me.
Yeah, it's back.
Back now. We had a few of those. I just kind of had a blank look, and I'm like, she'll come back. She'll come back.
Yeah.
We had a really good
Hoping
trot there.
it's just starting to go now, isn't it? Starting to
It
not
is.
like it.
It's like, we're done. That's the spleen just going, I'm done. I'm out. All
Yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Well,
Thank you so
quickly
much.
wrap us up quickly, how people can get in touch with you, Amy. Anything that you're doing at the moment that you'd like to share, please give us a little bit of you.
There it goes. Yeah, funnily enough, so to finish my master's, I've basically closed my calendar. So people just can't just book in. And that was, I think, just being on the roof, finishing my master's, it was like, no, the energy's coming back to me. But I do read for people if they email me and they're like, no, you are the person, the only voice in the world that has to do this. Then I'm like, all right, let's do it. But yeah, other than that, I just chill out on Instagram. Yeah, and I'll be at the conference. So I'm really only reading for people that get in contact with me via email. And I've always said if you can find my email address, then I'm open to readings. If you can't find my email address, then I'm probably closed off to readings. Yeah, but other than that, I just hang out on Instagram every now and then, and yeah, I'll be at the conference, and I'm so bloody excited. Like I've spoken at a few of the American conferences online, but there's nothing like being in Aura, being in person. Yeah, and I'd love a trip down the coast away from this heat. So, yeah.
In May, it'll be beautiful weather.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for just coming and chatting with me, and just being here, just being you. I really love it. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I'm sure I'll be talking to you again very soon.
Yes, we will.
Take care.